One day away, tomorrow afternoon, 1:08 p.m., your Cleveland Guardians hosting the Detroit Tigers. Audio courtesy of Bally's. Good morning, Tone.
Good morning, Kenny.
It's a wonderful day, even though I got people in my mentions and they're mad. No, they're mad. No, damn it, they're mad. Terry Francona taking over as manager of the Reds.
How could you be mad at a time like this?
There's people who are upset.
I can't imagine waking up today and feeling mad.
I don't think they make any sense. Dr. Todd, Warren Todd on Twitter. I don't know if he's an actual doctor. There's a lot of numbers. I imagine not, but maybe he is. Says other than the fact that he said he didn't see himself managing again. Yeah, zero surprise. Crazy how healthy a 65-year-old can get in 1 year. Gee, I'm sure it didn't have anything to do with small payrolls. He's taking over as manager of the Reds. Who have, and I just wanted to make sure, they were behind us in payroll. Not by too terribly much, but were behind us in payroll, yes.
I can't fathom.
Courtesy of Spotrac, maybe other websites are different.
I understand that website that individual reached out to you on is a website that breeds mad.
And the reactions to it on that website are brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, 603 and 49 seconds for those scoring at home.
I understand that it lends itself to that kind of anger and frustration.
Jimmy Justice says he's quote-unquote pissed. Says I have a soft take about it because I said, hey, zero surprise. We said he'd probably manage again. He's going to manage again.
This is not anything to be pissed about. It would be something to be pissed about if the Guardians were in the toilet and new manager Stephen Vogt was a train wreck and clearly wasn't ready to manage a baseball team. That's when I would be mad. Can we agree on that? Like, the fact that the guy that filled in for him in many ways, and we spent the first 3 months of the year wondering, is he doing a much better job than Tito would have done? At the end of the year, we're like, all right, we've got our manager. We got our manager of the future. What an incredible first year it was.
Yeah.
Not in the realm of possibilities for me to be mad at Terry Francona. Sometimes it's just time to move on.
Should I be mad at Terry Francona? Should we be mad at Terry Francona? 216-474-0092. Tell me if you're mad why you should be mad or why we should be mad. I'm not mad. I got postseason baseball. My manager's about to be manager of the year.
We're sitting here.
I don't know.
You got
Kevin Stefanski. I don't know if coach of the year means anything to anybody anymore, but still go ahead.
We are sitting here on the of what could be the start of an amazing October magical postseason run.
Or could be a total disaster.
That depends on
if they win tomorrow.
That's always in the books. Absolutely. That's the beauty of postseason baseball. Just ask the Milwaukee Brewers after what happened last night. Ask the Houston Astros, who are already eliminated.
Good.
Like, we are sitting here getting ready for baseball. Not one iota of me was thinking about Terry Francona other than, good luck to him. He's down in Cincinnati. We have a nice with him. We'll get to see him again. The battle for Ohio will be really very interesting. People are wondering if Tito was going to throw out the first pitch for the Guardians tomorrow. He is not. Was it Travis Fryman?
Yes.
Did he play for Detroit? Either way, I am excited about that. That is what I am excited about, that we have postseason baseball. We came in today. I came in on 90. Place was lit up. You could see it from Lakewood. I was like, whoa, boy. They must have the lights up. This is going to be a fun, fun weekend.
I think it's going to be a big one, obviously. I'm getting a lot of push. I'm distracted. I'm getting a lot of pushback about the whole Francona thing. I'm surprised. I didn't think I'd get this much pushback on it.
I don't understand this at all.
I got to turn my computer off. I'm getting a lot of distractions
I'm absolutely
here.
Shocked.
Like, I'm getting a lot of distractions.
Like, you guys realize when Tito was...
My bad.
When Tito couldn't manage, you know, over the with the health complications and everything, we were all like, we need to find our next manager. Like, we need to get going
here. Well, it was like parts of over the last 2 years, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So it's kind of been in the making for a while. I don't have any... somebody compared it to him taking over for the Steelers. I said, no, I don't consider... guys,
We're also not in the same division as the Reds.
Well, that... But I just do not take Cincinnati that terribly seriously. I know we had the whole Super Bowl thing where I was getting at people going, man, you guys don't want to sit there and root for them just because they're from Ohio. They don't like us. I think I'm pretty in tooth people here. I think they hate us way more than we would hate them. I don't think that much about Cincinnati, either of their two sports. I really don't. I don't sit there and make a big deal about the Bengals all the time. Maybe a little bit of the Joe Burrow stuff just to bother you, but hey, they're 1-3. They got to get their stuff figured out. We're 1-3. We got to get our stuff figured out. When it comes to the Reds, I don't know. Guys, I'm just not... I am kind of just nonplussed with the Reds. I have way more feelings towards any team in the Central Division, clearly, or any team in the American League. Like, the Reds are just a team 4 hours away to me. I have, guys, I got to tell you, I really just don't even, like, you can make the jokes about Cincinnati being in Kentucky. I don't consider Cincinnati a rival. I don't consider Cincinnati anything on my radar. The only reason we bring in Cincinnati during around the AFC North, if they weren't, I don't care. I do not care about Cincinnati. I don't care about the Reds. I don't care about any of the history other than I'm a fan of history. Other than that, I don't. It doesn't matter to me. Paul Brown, he got fired a long time ago. Odell's dead. What's done is done. I don't like that it happened, but I'm sure there was reasons for it back then. According to Jim Brown, he was a supporter of it, but that's something that can be hashed out over time. It doesn't matter to me. I don't know the Reds. It wasn't like he went to the Yankees. It wasn't like he went to the Mets. It wasn't like he went to the Red
Sox.
Not
in our division.
Whatever. It's not like he went in our division.
Yeah. What if he went to Minnesota? How'd you feel about that?
I would feel different if he went to Minnesota. If he went to the White Sox, I'd feel different. But he's the manager. And honestly, I can't even say if I felt that different because Grady Sizemore took over. I kind of hope he does okay. The season's already a miss, so it doesn't matter. But if he were taking over like one of those teams, I'd care. I do not. It does not bother me that he's taking over the manager of the Reds. The Reds don't bother me. I don't even care about the Chili. I don't care about any of it. It doesn't matter. So if it matters to you, God bless you. I do not consider the Bengals a rival. I do not consider the Reds a rival. I do not consider them in my stratosphere. I got way too many other things to worry about. I got the Tigers up the road that are coming to town tomorrow. Probably they're already in town. The Tigers series starts tomorrow, and I got the Steelers and Ravens and all that other history I have to worry about.
I think this is
the way it goes.
Today is not, and honestly, congratulations, Tito. I don't know if I'm with the best for him because the best would be a World Series.
I don't want him to win the best. It's the Ric Flair. You want your buddy to do well, but you don't want your buddy doing better than you.
Yeah.
So I wish him success, like over 500 success. I don't wish him to be in the playoffs. Let's call it what it is. I don't wish him to be in the playoffs and not us. I don't want that to happen.
Nobody would want that.
I hope he has a nice, easy enough tenure with the Cincinnati Reds. So I hope they're over 500. And if they make the playoffs, great. I just hope it's the same time we make the postseason. That'd be great, too. And then we could have the whole conversation of what it'd be like if we had to be in a World Series against Cincinnati and Terry Francona and the Cincinnati Reds. How would that go? That might be fun. If they beat us in the World Series, I'd feel a lot different. I'll give you guys that. If they beat us in a World Series with Terry Francona, I might change my opinion on all of this.
I'm just amazed too that
we'll see where I'm at that time emotionally.
There was some theory out there during the offseason that maybe Tito wasn't necessarily on the same page any longer with members of the front office.
There was some conversation. There was a lot of conversation.
And because of that, maybe, not that he's totally pushed out, but that they came to an agreement. All right, I'm going to step away. You guys find your next guy. And we've all had a great decade here. We can all admit we've had a great decade. We've had a lot of highs. We've had, a little bit of lows, but it's been
not
a
very
great
many
experience.
Lows. Yeah, not very many lows.
It's been a great experience, and you can go your way, we'll go this way.
If you're mad, do you want him back? Is that what it is? Like, if we were a 60-win baseball team right now, you're like, well, did you just leave us high and dry?
Yeah, but we found our next manager.
Yeah.
You just said it's probably going to win manager of the year.
Yeah. So, I really don't want him back. Guys, I got to tell you, I think that this team, maybe they win the division if Terry was still the manager. I mean, yes. Well, all of a sudden it's a miracle. Well, you stop being on the road so much. When you're on the road, truckers will tell you for crying out loud, and they are not nearly as well paid as what Terry Francona is. But let's be honest, you're on the road so often, you're struggling for time to take care of yourself. You're struggling for time to take proper care as far as exercise or eating or any of the other things because you're so constantly on the move. That's what a baseball season is. And so he's so constantly on the move. He did have time to stay in one place. It's like, all right, let's get some gym. What do I need to do to be amatory again? And they work with 60-year-olds all the time. And he's not out there running marathons now. Wasn't like he was sandbagging it. Good on you. So be it. 216-474-0092. Paul in Parma, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just a couple couple things. I think having Stephen Vogt be as good as he's been takes the sting out of it a bit. I think it kind of felt like, you know, last season wasn't, I'm not going to say torpedoed, but it was the Terry Francona castaway, you know, say goodbye, thanks for coming, blah, blah, blah. So I think there's an element of that that's like, oh, okay, well, you know, I thought that you had a lifetime contract here as long as you wanted it with the front office. So clearly things must have, you know, maybe just, like you guys said, just needed a change of scenery or wanted to focus on his health. But for all of us Ohio State fans, we were all happy to have health problems and then come on up to Ohio State afterwards. So, you know.
Well, I mean, if he turns Ellie De La Cruz into Roberto Clemente, then you know what? He really is that talented. And, Paul, thank you very much for the call. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad manager anymore, but I don't think that this team, if Terry Francona is still the manager. I don't think we're sitting here on the cusp of, I think we're bitching about the Browns being 1-3 and lamenting about Baker Mayfield's performance last night to start off this show if Terry Francona was still manager of the Guardians. Tell me I'm wrong. You're not telling me I'm wrong because you agree with me. I don't think we're in the post. I don't think we're in the postseason. Maybe we're in a wild card spot.
Hesitant.
Maybe.
Yeah, I was hesitant to go that far with you because
I'll go that far.
I know earlier in the year we got in arguments about that, and I'm like, well, I don't want to just act like Tito was the problem and Vogt is the magical guy to fix it. Like, I just think the run needed to come to an end at some point, and I thought it was a perfect time for the breakup, and that's where we're at. I don't think it would have been terrible this year with Tito or anything like that. I just think it was probably time for them to go their separate directions.
Yeah, I think he knew. I mean, he took essentially the same team to the playoffs in 2022. The pitching staff is different, obviously,
right.
But the core of the team is the same guys. You know, Kwan was a rookie then and now started off hot. I think he knew he was leaving whoever came in with something to build on, right?
But am I really going to be able to be a team that's taken that we could take ourselves seriously, not be taken seriously outside, but take ourselves seriously when, again, it was like he was sandbagging it and taking time off on purpose,
right?
Just because he didn't want to be around. Like, yeah, there were health problems where he couldn't really travel. So when you can't be around all the time, and then when it was announced that he's going to be stepping away, yeah, it's kind of ass-off time with everybody. And that's why they were under 500 last year. And it kind of left us in this lurch of, okay, what's to come in the future?
I'll never say good riddance to him.
No.
But, you know, if we know that these problems could possibly rear their head again, and quite frankly, I'm happy that we won't have to be the one maybe have to pay the price around that stuff.
Being a manager is a moving target, and I think you are right about that. Like, Stephen Vogt all of a sudden could not have the magic touch in 2 years.
Right.
But I mean, he's you could be a manager into old age, as we've seen. I mean, going back all the way to Casey Stengel, you can be a manager.
Well, I felt like you had to be 60 to be a major league manager when I was a kid.
To be like a really good one, yeah, like grizzled.
Jim Leland's been 60 since he was 25.
How old was Sparky?
Very old.
All of the years.
All of the years old, yes. I wish him well to the point of just as long as he ain't doing better than us. They're doing better than us, maybe I'll have a different conversation.
The biggest problem, and I think it was evident the last week of the season, the Reds knew it. They have not won that Ohio Cup in a decade, and this was a clear shot across the lines to say, hey, they're coming after the Ohio Cup.
Yep.
These four games matter the most to them on their schedule. And they went out and got the guy that they thought would hurt us the most.
Yep.
To help them win that Ohio Cup.
Back. That's the only thing to it is maybe now the Ohio Cup's a bit more personal. Maybe now they will take me seriously instead of doing the AI pictures.
No more fake t-shirts.
No more fake AI.
It's all real.
It's all real champagne in 2025.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, baseball postseason, it is here. Obviously, Guardians getting ready for their game tomorrow against Detroit. ALDS game one. Last night, we had things finishing up between the Mets and the Brewers. The Mets take it 4-2 to win that series 2-1, so they are moving on. Were you paying attention at all, Kenny, to Francisco Lindor, who went 2-for-3?
I was not.
And they were... There were some post-game theatrics. He was having himself a blast.
I saw the game. I saw a little bit of the game. I didn't even notice he went 2-for-3. Sorry. Not a personal shot. Not being mean-spirited. I know you won't believe that. Didn't even notice.
Sorry. Why would be mean spirited?
I'm just saying. I know you like to paint me in a certain corner most of the time, but no.
Well, he recovered from a very very slow start to the year.
Maybe the worst start of his entire career. Now he's not going to win MVP, but he's an MVP candidate.
Pete Alonso hit the go ahead home run in that game. In fact, here is the call.
3-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swinging a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Frelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. It's a 3-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead.
Now everybody knows I'm a big Tom Hamilton fan. Obviously, everybody in Cleveland is. High Rose is up there, man. He might be top three for me. A big High Rose fan.
Audio courtesy of the Mets Radio Network. Meanwhile, back to the American League, back to the Guardians, who are getting ready for tomorrow. Still don't have officially the pitching matchups for Game 2. We do know that Bibee is going to be going in Game 1. Here is Stephen Vogt on the challenges that this Tigers team, which they know very, very well, present.
Besides the fact that they're a really good team, they create tough matchups on both sides of the ball. So with the versatility that they have, with their handedness, with their positional flexibility, they can get good matchups versus our pitching kind of whenever they want. And on the flip side, they've got a very balanced, very talented bullpen that can match up with our lineup. So it's going to be two very similar teams going at it. And I think the Tigers are very, very deep, and they've got a lot of talent.
Yeah, Tigers offense, if you look at any of the numbers from the season, they're in the bottom third in Major League Baseball, in almost every statistical category. But obviously, the team that we are playing, it's not necessarily the team that they were, you know, very early in the year or halfway through the year. Really, you know, beyond that. I mean, this team has been a dynamo over the last month and a half. So, I don't know if the numbers might be a little misleading. But afternoon show yesterday, Kenny, they were weighing whether it was anxiousness, nervousness, or excitement when it comes to this game tomorrow. I'm excited. I am not. It's weird. When I was young, I used to get really nervous. My teams were in big games, big spots. I'm really excited. Maybe it's because of the layoff. I'm ready to see playoff baseball again. Especially,
it's been
like
a week, man. It sucks.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been watching a lot of TV. It has been fun to watch everybody else kind of get pensive because it's fun. I remember the last great memory I had. I remember I had that back injection done, and I was like kind of not laid up, but laid up. And that was the marathon game with the Oscar Gonzalez home run. So like that was a lot of fun. So I have good fond memories just sitting there like watching the game. So I'm ready to enjoy tomorrow. I like daytime postseason baseball. I'm looking forward to the entire experience. Obviously hoping we win too,
well,
but you get what I'm saying.
And just thinking about how today it's a blank slate, but in a week, might have three new Cleveland baseball heroes. We might have these walk-off amazing moments. Maybe it's extra innings. Maybe it's a dominant pitching performance that we didn't necessarily see coming beforehand. And all that stuff is yet to write itself in terms of the story, but this is how it works. And I know it could go the other way. I know it could go south at any point, but why should I feel like it can't be us? That's kind of my mindset as we get into the
postseason. Think there's any question about it that there's a chance that why wouldn't it be us? Why couldn't it be? I think that's part of the fun of baseball. Anything can. I just hate saying it all the time. That anything can happen. We all know that anything can happen. Then go out and make it happen. Because anything can happen.
Meanwhile, we go to football where Nick Chubb was back on the practice field yesterday. Right now, it's still up in the air when he's going to make his return for the Cleveland Browns. But it was a sight for sore eyes yesterday, and even heard from the man himself, Nick Chubb, on there are any concerns about getting back on the field.
I don't think so. You know, once you get out there and you're running around, it's like you're 8 years old again. You know, it's like riding a bike, and that's not something that's in my head. You can't control that, so you don't go out there and play fast.
So obviously this led to a lot of speculation about when we would get to see Nick Chubb again. Kenny, are you hearing anything? Are you feeling anything?
Well, I mean, Jeff said he was still very cautious about it in the promo. And obviously, that's big stuff. I will say that, you know, you got the 3 week. I think we'll probably see him closer to that Bengals game. Yeah, that's right. That'd be 3 weeks. I think we'll probably see him in the Bengals game. And I don't know how many carries he'll get. I think we'll see him in the Bengals game. They're going to bring him along very slowly. If he's not back and he loses a season, I would be terrified. I would be a sinking feeling about the rest of his career. So there's a lot of things that we have to make sure that are taken care of before we put him back out there in the field. I'd say that it'll be this week, probably another week, and then obviously we're going to get to the three-week stretch where it's either put up or shut up time, and I think he'll play against the Bengals. Looks strong. Looks good.
Yeah, obviously in this offense, which so desperately needs something in the running game. You know, the numbers were rolling around a couple of days ago about their first down inefficiency. They're like the worst first down team in the NFL. And I know it's something that Deshaun Watson was asked about it, and he kind of punted it over to the coaches. But, I mean, a big part of their issue, along with the penalties and going backwards, is that they have no running game to speak of. Yeah. There is no consistent running game. And, again, the things we took for granted over the years, I think we're realizing it now. Like, your offensive line was dominant. That was never going to be a problem. Except, yeah, the Steeler games were always a little tougher. But you, against a lot of teams, had such a matchup advantage with the line that you kept your quarterbacks upright. Clean jerseys, able to throw, and the run, the running attack, the screen game. All that stuff was in play. And right now, none of it seems to be firing.
It is not a smart thing. I think it's foolish to think that he is going to come back and fix all of that. And I would hope a fan is not going to feel that way. I think that this is still an offense, and I know we'll get into it a little bit deeper later in the show. I have to start wondering, like, not is there too many cooks in the kitchen, but why are you calling another person's offense? What are we doing with this offense? Is the offense really something that's going to work? Is it really the problem? Is it the execution that's the problem? What I'm tired of hearing.
And is it really someone else's offense?
I love Mary. That's what I'm saying. Oh, you're saying this might still be the Stefanski offense.
That's
a different conversation,
am I wrong,
too.
Am I wrong in just saying, open, while the effectiveness of the offense has been different this year, the look of it, it seems like kind of a hybrid thing.
Well, you remember the Jacksonville game. Heavy to start things out. Nick Harris in the backfield. Now, because of the injuries, I don't know necessarily if you can do that. But it was a little bit more compact, a little bit more Stefanski-esque. I don't mean to attack Mary Kay or anything like that. It's going to sound like I am. She said something that I'm like, when she said something about the rust with Deshaun Watson still, it bothers me to almost no end already. Like, man, we're in week five. We're in week five. This whole preseason stuff, this stuff needs to go. This conversation about that. Like, again, I heard Mary Kay say it. She's just the latest example. I'm not trying to rip Mary Kay for it. This whole idea that, man, it's just going to take some time, this, that, and the other, that's got to stop. That's got to end right now.
Did you catch Thursday night football last night? What a great sports night last night was.
Watched it back.
Between the Falcons and the Buccaneers. So this one was a wild one. Ends up coming down to overtime. In fact, again, Atlanta gets another late, huge kick to send the game into overtime. Who is their kicker? Is it Koo?
Yeah.
Guy has nails. I mean, but it seems like everybody around the league, as long as you give your kicker a chance to kick the 50-yarders, they're going to go in. We didn't necessarily give our guy the chance to kick it last
week. You can punt the ball or you can field goal.
There's people with Young Hoku jerseys.
Yeah.
And I noticed that. And the reason I noticed that is because I saw them standing there trying to break up a fight in the stands last week when they showed the carnage that was going on in what looked like the 500
were people
level.
People fighting in the Young Hoku jerseys?
No, fighting to win the jerseys.
They were trying to keep the peace, it seemed, but there were two.
That makes a lot of sense. I don't think you can wear the kicker jersey and be the assailant.
Guys, we got knocked this fighting off in the stands. One guy got stomped out. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. It's been ridiculous for a while, but man.
Well, last night, Kirk Cousins was 42 of 58 for 509 yards, 4 touchdowns. Told you before the show, Kenny, we keep talking, first 3 weeks were really ugly in the NFL. Now it seems like the offenses, this is about the appropriate amount of time it's taken for offenses to get back in gear. So maybe a big week for the Browns offense. We'll see against Washington this weekend in a game you can catch right here on 92.3 The Fan. The other quarterback last night, Baker Mayfield, had everybody going nuts about his amazing first half. Things did slow down in the second half. He still ended up Very solid numbers, 19 to 24, 180 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. In fact, quarterback rating of 137.5. Here is Baker Mayfield after the game.
I mean, all I care about is wins. That's it. So, got to find a way to finish that game out on offense. I'm thinking about the first half missing that shot to Shep. Should have been a touchdown. Ended up with 3 points. And I'm just replaying that one over in my head that maybe shouldn't have even been in an overtime situation. So, have to make the plays when they're there. And then in the second half, just got to take care of the football and then got to finish on offense.
I know it's just social media mentions, so it's like, who cares? But when we wake up and we see the timeline, it always is a decent indicator of what people are talking about. And oh my God, Kenny, in the first half.
I know.
The mentions of the Baker Brigade, the Baker Bros, the people that are obviously frustrated. Like, we can have an honest conversation. Obviously frustrated. How many articles have come out in the last week about how this Browns offense is like historically bad? Deshaun Watson's a quarterback of that offense, and Baker Mayfield has given a lot of people in Tampa reason to get excited. Now, he fell short last night, and they're 3-2 now on the season. But did you wake up to the mentions the same way I did?
Walking into youth practice yesterday, one of the other coaches, Brad, goes, "Are you ready for those phone calls tomorrow if he does well?" I'm like, "Brother, I live in the darkness."
Yeah, we're ready at any time.
I'm ready for the dark place.
We got the coming in hot button. We don't have to wait either. We can just listen to him. Owen sends it to us at all hours of the night.
Oh, God, don't tell them to do Baker Mayfield coming in hot.
I've replaced my alarm clock with the coming in hot button.
He wakes up every time. Yep.
So you can use the coming in hotline. Click on the coming in hot button at the free Odyssey app. Don't talk about Baker. I mean, you can talk about whatever you want, but don't talk about Baker.
All right. That's it for about last night.
All right. I'm not going to sit there and avoid your calls. Apparently, they talked about the call from Dave in Macedonia on SportsCenter the other day. Thanks to the person who got my attention on that one on social media. So I'm going to steer right into it. But first, can I tell you that I don't think Buccaneers fans even deserve Baker Mayfield? Because he's sitting there, this new, like, I got it from Bussing with the Boys, that podcast over there with it's Will Compton. Will Compton is in it. Yeah, it's good. It sounds like I'm taking shots. I'm not. But they had audio or a video of him. We're going to play the audio for you of Baker Mayfield, and they're like at a super fan
event.
Yeah, this
is from the this is a from Tampa, a Manning Brothers production.
Okay, yeah. Well, they love to do the undercover thing. So Baker went undercover as a Buccaneers fan. He's
but
walking.
The Bucs actually put it out.
Yes.
The full thing out.
Yeah, he looks like a haggard. He looks like Florida man. He really looks like Florida man.
That's
the
way.
He's got a big knee brace over the jeans on his right knee. I just want to point it out that you're going to hear the voice, and if you see the video, if it were Pumpkinhead or Spider Dog or Bone Lady or name any of these Brown super fans that were there, they would have known it was him right from the voice. They would have known it the moment he opened his mouth. Like, they would have given him the side eye on it. But here's Baker Mayfield with the Buccaneers superfans.
Gonna take you boys to school.
Gussie's got it.
We got another throw.
Gus has got it right here. Gus has got it right here.
Watch the knee. Watch the knee.
Right.
Yeah, dude with the bum knee.
That's right. I should have gone pro when I had the chance.
He launches the football.
So he throws from the end zone. He throws it over the wide receiver. It's well over 50 yards, and people start to realize that this isn't just some fan. It's Baker Mayfield in a decent disguise, a Manning-esque disguise.
As Gus Swayze.
Gus Swayze, which is a terrible name. That's almost as bad as Ron Mexico.
Well, he's got like rock star length hair down past his shoulders.
Yes.
He's wearing the bandana.
Yeah.
He's got the mustache. So this was at which stage of the Denver Broncos game? His current mustache look there.
It's about
second quarter.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
It's got Flavor Saver going on.
So are we willing to just say Baker's good? Should we just admit it?
In that commercial, the fact that he's making
not from the commercial.
Wait, think about this: the fact that remember we saw him in every commercial, and then he had the terrible season. Then we saw him in no commercials.
Well, that's. I noticed it the other day, you know, they had a win and afterwards they show Emily and they have a daughter now.
Yep.
Like those are things that we as Cleveland fans, I don't think even think
family
about
man
right
Baker.
Now, right? He's not the kid that left here that was disgruntled with the talking to Deshaun.
Yeah, no, he's,
and the things that got him out the door.
He's fully gruntled now down in Tampa Bay. I've thought about it. You know, the revisionist history. People are calling out some national personalities for, like, how could the Browns let this guy go? It's like, you guys were telling him to let him go. I often wonder, and I think it would be the case, and nobody wants to believe it, and that's fine. He's the owner, so you can blame the owner, but I know that he had to be sold on the idea. And if it were to go south, like, those people will have to pay the fiddler for it going south here in Cleveland. But had he not tried to make that tackle? Had he just not tried to make that tackle? Because it was, well, how much do we pay the guy? He's had a good season, a good half a season, a bad season. It's been a good season. Now what do we do? Because remember, even in the good season in 2020, it was like, people were going, well, it's a good 8 or 9 games in the second half of the year. Because that Bengals game, that first Bengals game when Odell went down with the ACL injury, I go, man, this is over. This is done. In the first half, I remember looking myself in the mirror. I'd put water on my face in my office. I'm going, this is going to be a bad day tomorrow. And then he goes out and he throws for 5 touchdowns, and they beat the Bengals down there.
28 in a row.
Yeah, it was amazing. And it seemed like we were off to the races. Like, he is that type of guy. And I look at him now and I go, man, when he has a solid foundation, he's great. It does take his whole body. When he's injured, if he gets injured, I think that he'll be in trouble. I don't know if he's a guy that's big enough to do that, but you know what? That's coulda, woulda, shoulda stuff. I just flat out think, had he not tried to make that tackle that day, and I remember exactly where I was. I was leaving a gas station on a Sunday. I get out of the truck. I pump the gas. Things are going well. It's week 2. Everything's great. I come back, and Jim sounds like, it sounded almost like a Zapruder film was going off. He was concerned. Doug was concerned, and I'm going, what did I miss? What did I miss? Oh, my God. He tried to do this, making a tackle, and then it was the long, hard road from what we know. I got to tell you, Tone, had he not tried to make that tackle, I don't know if it's as good as what we're seeing now, but I think they would have tried to run that out and see whether or not that this thing is going to be good.
Yeah, is that the definition of a sliding doors moment, that tackle? It's an inconsequential thing normally in the scheme of things, and it ends up derailing.
That moment, and then you can put it on Anthony Schwartz going, okay, of course Andrew Berry's third-round pick gave alligator arms on this, and then he tried
just
to go make a
measure,
tackle.
Just for good measure.
Had he not tried to make that tackle, I still think he's probably a Cleveland.
So I'm in a tough spot here. I'm in a really tough spot because I was leading the charge to get Baker the hell out of here. And it wasn't anything personal. It had nothing to do with that. I had made up my mind that this guy could not be a big-time starting quarterback. Like, he had been a franchise quarterback for pieces, you know, of seasons, and he had had great stretches. But I was looking at it overall with the balls getting batted down at the line of scrimmage. Anytime he played against tougher defenses, you know, the numbers were unequivocal after, you know, the amount of time he had spent here. The fact that, you know, when there was even the slightest offensive line breakdown, what that meant. When you were going up against teams that were dialed in, like, he was having a lot of trouble. And then obviously for the fourth quarters, trying to come from behind, it just was something he really struggled with. And all the numbers, to me, pointed towards a quarterback that was, you'd be fine with him when he's healthy. That was another question. Could a guy his size, you know, stay healthy? And then, of course, we get to Deshaun Watson, and can he stay healthy? I mean, it's just another set of problems that we have. I was leading the charge to get rid of him. And I started to think about all these other quarterbacks that I would rather have over Baker Mayfield. And I got to give credit to him. He is way better than I thought he would be. He has really earned this next act of his career. He got paid on it. Maybe never the money that he ultimately thought he could make in Cleveland if things would continue trending up. But he made a lot of money. He's doing as I told you so's. He does seem like he's cut out a lot of the nonsense.
Well, he's Ric Flair. So if they go and they win a Super Bowl,
maybe
he's going to cut a promo.
Starts up again.
He's going to cut a promo on all of us, and I'm going to take my lower lip and pull it over my face, and that's going to be the end of me. But he's got other things he's got to worry about. He's got to worry about the NFC South. I mean, he's got to worry about getting a win coming up next week taking this time off and getting a win and getting them to 4-2 because they got a good football team and they got a pretty decent defense, even though it didn't show last night because Kirk Cousins was primetime Kirk Cousins. But he's got other things that he knows, and he knows, and it's easy to focus on your own work when you know your other team is in panic mode. Your former team's in panic mode without you. And fans are doing the whole coulda, woulda, shoulda thing. A lot of people are acting like they didn't say what they said back in 2021. A lot of people are trying to take back. I know. I'm glad you're owning up to it. Because, Tone, we knew that before the Mary Kay article came out. There were prominent members on that football team that did not want him here, and it was going to turn into a it's either him or me situation. The worst part about it, though, if it's either him or me, and they chose me, being the ones that are still there, they're 1-3 now. They're near the bottom of the AFC North. So it's like, which one do you choose? And so for the people, like, honestly, the guy in the leather vest over in North Homestead, he's sleeping fine right now. He's happy. He would have made our life a living hell if he were still in here, thank God. But he's very happy. And for us, like, we're trying to get the nose up on this thing. I can only tell the truth, and this is what it's been. Like, this sucks. It sucks that we're not where we need to be. It sucks that this team all of a sudden looks ancient out of nowhere, and we've only got one playoff victory, and the playoff victory came with him. And he is on a football team where Mike Evans is aged like a fine wine and is on his way to the Hall of Fame. And they are still, even though they lost last night, they look like they're still on a decent trajectory. It's the way it is. And now we have to just deal with it and try to get going with this thing, and it doesn't get any easier because Jaden Daniels seems like he's setting the world on fire. Guy has more touchdown passes or touchdown drives than they have incompletions. That is unbelievable. Huh? Believe like it when it comes to playing us. Completion percentage. Yeah.